Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In a quiet Chicago suburb, a star wrestler goes missing weeks before his high school graduation, shattering his mother's carefully curated image of the perfect family. Upstanding Young Man by Sharon Doering is a pulse-pounding thriller with complicated family dynamics, perfect for fans who love suspense. NYT bestselling author Reed Farrell Coleman describes it as tense, evocative, and surprising. Upstanding Young Man grabs you and won't let go. Available now wherever books are sold.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Truth and Justice. For this week's episode, this is really just a fun one. You can consider this just a bonus episode. Today, I sat down with friends of the show, Katie and Kimberly from the Date with Dateline podcast. They just got back from CrimeCon, and they were the People's Choice winners of the Creators of the Year Award. I just want to give any of you a heads up that are looking to hear about a case or anything serious. That's not what this episode is. Really, it's just me catching up with Katie and Kimberly. This episode is a lot of fun. It's a nice palate cleanser before we get into moving into our new season. So if you're just looking for a fun listen, this one's for you. If you're looking for a serious deep dive into anything, that's not this episode. With that being said, enjoy. Here's Katie and Kimberly. I'm a little starstruck today. And
why?
Because... What are you holding, Katie?
Why are you starstruck? this thing that weighs 5,000 pounds?
For those of you that are just listening and not watching, Katie is holding up their Clue. Wait, hold it up a little closer so I can read it. The Clue Awards People's Choice Creator of the Year award that these two young ladies won at CrimeCon this year, chosen by you all, the listeners. And I prepared, first of all, I prepared your introduction based on our text messaging conversation. I'm just kind of going through. Because Katie was very clear about how she wanted to be introduced.
What sort of fanfare was expected now?
Yes. So it says that you want to definitely insist on being... okay, here. Now announcing the award-winning podcast, A Date with Dateline. The queens of true crime, hosts of the award-winning podcast. Please welcome creators of the year, Katie and Kimberly. Big round of applause.
Woohoo! Where are the trumpets? I thought there were going to be trumpets.
Oh, I forgot about the trumpets. Yeah, I'll add trumpets in. We'll add trumpets in post. We'll make sure that the trumpets get in there. Congratulations, ladies.
Thank you. Katie, it's shocking.
Katie, Kimberly, you just saved me 10 minutes of editing by doing that. There's your trumpets. There it was.
You're welcome.
So fun. These two award-winning, amazing creators of the year have been traveling. Well, not Katie. Katie just went straight to bed right after CrimeCon was over. Kimberly lived in an airport for a little while, so she's a little bit tired. So we didn't prepare a case to talk about. I just wanted, anybody that's been listening for a long time, you know that I love these ladies. They've been longtime friends. I've all the way back from season 9 of Truth and Justice and the True Crime Binge, and here we are again. So I genuinely, when I reached out, I was so excited to see you guys win that award. So how awesome was that?
Shocking. We're still in shock.
Yeah, it was weird. It's still a little weird.
We were nominated last year and we were 100% sure that people thought they were voting for Dateline, that it was a huge mistake.
We emailed. Kimberly emailed.
I did.
And said,
are you sure? They did not think we were Dateline. And they said, no. And then it happened again this year. And I thought, this is embarrassing. It happened again. the mistake happened again.
And then,
we won, and then people were clapping, and that was weird. Also, like, True Crime Garage was in our category, like big podcasts.
Yeah.
So that's just, it's all weird, very uncomfortable. Neither one of us like all of, we're
but
just.
I'm guessing we should. Syndrome. Should we be thanking Bob for staying home? I think we should just thank you for not coming and allowing us to win.
Yeah, because clearly I would have swept the awards had I showed up. But you know, I decided to let the little people have their day.
Yeah, that we appreciate. Yeah. We really appreciate.
No, I was genuinely like I saw the lineup for it, and I don't want to name it, like one of the podcasts that was up against you guys are friends of mine. One of them is not. But either one of them, I wanted you guys to win.
I'm trying to
one
guess.
One of them was friend, but there were five in the category. So two you are ambivalent about.
Yeah, well, I don't know who the other two are. And now I'm at the point where if I name names, then it's going to, I mean, all my listeners know who I'm talking about. I know you guys have.
Who you're talking about.
Yeah, I know you guys have been keeping up on all the episodes of Truth and Justice, but I kind of did.
I keep up on the gossip.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Hey, I'm an old school fan. Season one. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, I was there. I almost called in. It was like the only time I've ever almost called in because you're like, call in with this and this. And I was like, should I do it? I never did.
But, we could have been friends so much earlier.
Yeah. No, I had a wacky theory on something. And that, I wish I could remember what it was. Should have written it down.
You don't remember? Because now I want to know what it is.
You ever covered. It was on.
Was that an Ed 8 case?
On whose?
Goddamn.
Who'd you say?
Lifelong fan. Lifelong fan.
Yeah, Ed 8.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I heard something else. And I was like, what? I thought I heard you say on that AIDS case. And I was like, someone have AIDS? I don't think so. No, I don't think anyone had AIDS. And yes, Ed 8. And it was something about a phone call that had happened. She was on the phone and I had a whole, anyways, we'll talk later.
Oh, yeah. That was the whole thing where her friend Kubia called Elnora the victim. Yes. And she said, I'm sitting here talking to Edward, which has been a baffling part of that case since we did it. So now I want to know what your theory is.
I had a really good theory on it and I can't remember.
You probably had it figured out and you were too shy to call. Now,
way too shy. Way too shy.
Podcasters of the year, creators of the year.
Stop.
Crazy.
Who were the other two? So I know it was the prosecutors. There was True Crime Garage. Who were the other?
Crime Weekly,
okay.
And, Body Bags.
I'm not familiar with that one.
I think he's pretty popular.
I'm sure.
He had a lot of people at his booth.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
I know, yeah.
My audience knows me saying that I'm not familiar with it means nothing because I don't listen to true crime.
I don't either.
Yeah, Katie, at all. So I don't know most of those. Katie, is Body Bags a big deal?
I haven't listened to Body Bags yet.
Of course you haven't. You're the creator of the year. Why would you be listening to this?
Oh brother. But I've been I'm pretty much just stuck on Dateline and then been watching a lot of true crime stuff on YouTube. Are you on YouTube yet?
You're on YouTube right now.
I mean, are you on YouTube regularly?
Like watching YouTube?
He's on.
Oh, like are you doing your show live on YouTube?
Listen to what I'm telling you, Katie. Right now, you are on YouTube on my show.
I really should have brushed my hair, Bob. Really? You really should
currently
have done a few things differently here. But that's all right.
Did we stress that we just came back from CrimeCon and we're very tired? And
right, yeah,
this
yeah.
was very last minute.
Yeah, so no, very last minute. We've started doing it. It's been a really cool shift for us, like to, because, you know, we everything's crowdsourced for us, so we connect a lot with our audience. And it was, I don't know, maybe... We started doing for our patrons years ago where we would do like a behind the scenes video version of our follow up. So like we would just but we just taped it in house with all these cameras and then we would just put that out for them on Fridays. And then when we went remote, we started trying to figure out all the ways. So then we started like recording like through Zoom and StreamYard and stuff. And then we realized like, well, we could just on StreamYard, we could just flip the switch and people could actually join us live for the conference. So we've been doing the follow-ups live now for about 2 years, I think.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
I joined a couple, but had no idea what you were talking about because I don't follow the cases.
Listen,
but I love just watching you guys talk.
If you if you joined any of them anytime lately, I also don't know what I'm talking about. We were between seasons. Like, I mean, we're right on, like, we're like 2 weeks away from launching into our next case. So like I'm buried in that case. I also started teaching part time. I'm teaching broadcasting at our local high school. I kind of got roped into that. Yeah, it's I love it. I absolutely love it. But it's like
that's cool.
But it's like that's a time suck on top of it. And then we're prepping for this next case. And then my on Sunday, my daughter just graduated high school.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. So it's
amazing.
And neither of you have children, correct?
We're childless. I have a lot of cats, remember, which I know they don't count. I'm not that bad. I know they don't
count. We can count them if one of them graduates. Well, when your cats,
none of them are anywhere close to getting a degree.
Yeah. When your cats turn 18, you'll see that like graduation time is, and I'm sure my audience is tired of hearing me bitch about this. I'm not bitching about it. So like everything's awesome. Like these are all great things that we do, but it's so much. It's every day. It's like there's an award ceremony and my daughter plays softball too. So then it's like the district tournament softball and the award ceremony for softball and then the graduation rehearsal and then the graduation parties and then the actual graduation. And then there's just like, so just like every single day. Meanwhile, I'm also teaching at a high school and they have all our end of the year graduation stuff. That was like staggered 1 week from my daughter's school. They got out a week earlier. So there was like, I have to go to that graduation and that rehearsal and all that stuff. So it was like for the last like 3 weeks. Yeah. Literally yesterday.
Nonstop.
Yeah. I sat down to do the follow-up last night and I was live and we got done and I talked for 40 minutes. I have no idea what I was talking. I don't know what I even said. Don't have a clue.
That was like our speech at Crab Gun.
Yeah.
We've had a pact not to watch it because.
Yeah, I don't want to.
We heard it was good, and that's all we need to know.
I heard it was fine. I heard it was acceptable. What did the kids do for graduation? Like, we had a weird thing that was like an overnight, like to keep the kids safe. Do they still do that?
Yeah. So the school I teach at does that, and that's like a national program. It's called Project Graduation. I think that's the name of the program. That's what we call it, but. Yeah, so it the school I teach at, that was, and I remember when I was a fireman, project graduation always ended at the fire station. We served them pancakes, but it'd be like,
that's cute.
It'd be like after graduation, they have like an hour to go change, and then they like get on a bus, and then they like take them and do fun stuff all the time, and then they would end. It goes on all night long, and then it would end. Back then, the last stop would be at the fire station. We'd be all set up for them, and we would do like a huge pancake breakfast for the whole senior class, and then they would. Go about their business. The idea behind it was, like you were saying, Kimberly, was it's years and years ago, they were looking at like statistics of how many kids like get in drunk driving accidents and get killed on graduation nights. And so they like created this thing for students to do and they love it. They, I actually hired one of my students. She just started this week. That just graduated. She's like researching and writing. She's an animal.
Oh, wow.
She's awesome. Awesome. When you guys are listening to all of our episodes, you'll know like those were, you know, researched and written by Erica because you listen to them all.
I will start.
But she was like telling me about like they like picked them up and they took them to like this huge like sports complex where there was like they had like crafting and they were like playing volleyball and doing all this stuff.
We had like a magician and then like this weird booth where you could get fake married, which I don't, looking back, it's very strange.
Fake married?
Yeah, and games, like an arcade.
Did you get fake married?
Yeah, I think to like a friend, like a, like I think a group of us got fake married.
Are you sure it's like fake?
I'm now wondering, am I legally married somewhere?
Yeah, you might be.
I might be. I need to look into that.
Yeah.
That feels like a lawsuit. I don't know.
It really does. Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
How weird that was.
Yeah. And it started, I forgot when you reminded me when you said magician there. So their first stop was at our local comedy club. They like stopped at the comedy club and they like had like two or three comics like do a set for them. Then they went to the sports complex. The crafting thing seems weird for me too, but it made sense when it was explained to me that a bunch of the kids wanted to like, you know, play basketball and play volleyball and stuff. But the kids that didn't want to do, you know, didn't want to play sports. They had a spot where they were
like me.
Yeah. Kimberly, you sounded appalled by the idea, Katie, but you can see Kimberly at the crafting booth.
100%.
Yeah.
Like I'm just trying to picture what kinds of crafts, like you could make t-shirts like for the night or like, are you like performing in a skit? Like, sorry, Kimberly and I are also theater kids. So my mind's going in a bunch of different directions here. So I'm trying to
like camp. And if I went to camp,
lanyard.
I would be at the lanyard booth. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah. I think they were making Harry Potter cross stitches.
That's it.
That's what the real cool kids do. I don't have any right now.
Right now, I said, are you impressed at my recall from like 2 years ago?
I recall you saying you read Harry Potter drunk, crying outside in your backyard, like wailing to yourself.
When Dumbledore died, yes.
Dumbledore died. I'll give you one better. Okay, if you haven't done this already, Bob, you need to go on YouTube and watch reaction videos for when Harry finds out about Snape. No spoilers. But
that was a total spoiler.
People's reaction to being in the PNC or the pensive, whatever it's called. I've always pronounced it wrong. Do you know what I'm talking about?
That moment
in the books and movies. Go watch, and they have these conglomerations of people reacting to that. It's very enjoyable.
Like when he finds out that Snape's the good guy.
Yeah, like, Katie has been in a reaction video. Like, she's like, go watch the reaction videos to the end of Seven. So it's a bunch of very young people who have never seen the movie Seven or The Sixth Sense. They don't know the twist in The Sixth Sense.
They don't know.
Because they've never seen it before. Because they're 19. They're watching it, and it's very funny.
It's fun.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Listen, if you ever want to feel really old, like if you're just sitting around thinking, you know what, I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I'm feeling young and vibrant. You know what will cure that?
Yeah.
Hire an 18-year-old girl to work in your office. Every time, because I tend to speak in movie references a lot because I think I'm funny. Do you know how awful it is? She's reading trial transcripts right now, right? This morning, she was going through, and on Friday, we have to go to like the police department and the DA's office. We're going to interview some people. And I was like, we'll play good cop, bad cop, but I'll be the good cop and you be the bad cop. Like, I'll be nice. And then you come in and go, you can't handle the truth. And she looked at me like I was a fucking Martian.
Oh, no.
I was like, what? She's like, what are you talking about? What does that mean?
This reaction video to that scene.
You need to casually drop Kaiser Soze. And see what happens. She's got to know that, right?
No, like, I'll feel 100. This is everything. There was multiple occurrences. This shit happens to me all the time. I was telling her the other day about when I first went out to LA when we were going to shoot the documentary. Like my first day, it's kind of a funny story. I'm a little country bumpkin from Michigan, and you know John Cryer was my producer, so like that was crazy already. And then he flies me out to LA, sets me up in this hotel. And so like my first moments in LA, I get to the hotel and John texts me and he's like, hey, you want to go out and grab some sushi? And I'm like, yeah, cool, man. I'm just gonna go grab sushi with Ducky. That's fine. Like I was trying to play it cool, you know, but I was freaking out. And then he texts me. He's like, I'm downstairs and it was dark out. And I go down the stairs. And when I got in the elevator and when I walked out of the elevator, I was like, did fucking Cato Kaelin just walk in that elevator? Like when I came out, I was like, I think that was Cato Kaelin. Like this camp, like, is this what LA's like? That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. She doesn't know who Cato Kaelin is.
I do know exactly who Cato Kaelin is.
No, not her. The
girl.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that was thing one. I'm telling that story and she just looks at me like, what? I'm like, Cato Kaelin. And she's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, OJ Simpson? She's like, yeah. I'm like, you know who he is. She's like, I hope so. Yeah, he murdered his wife or something, right? That was the whole, because it was just in the news recently, you know, when he died. Uh-huh. Yeah, and I'm like Cato Kaelin was like a big, and then you're just like, how far do I want to go down this? So I'm just like, okay, enough. Just know that was a weird thing to see Cato Kaelin, but I wasn't sure. And then I go outside, and then I walk out, and it's dark, and I see off in the corner, there's two guys standing there, and I hear Ducky talking. like it's a very distinct, I can't see, but I hear like the voice of someone talking, and I'm like, that. And really for me, I mean, he's Ducky for everyone, right? But he's Alan Harper for me. Okay. You know, from 2 and 8, but I hear the voice, I'm like, shit, that's John. Okay, I'm walk over there, and I hear, hey Bob, come on over. And I walk over, and he's talking to this dude, and he's like, Bob, man, good to meet you. Hey, this is my buddy Ryan. I'm like, what's up, Ryan? Is Ryan goddamn Styles? You guys
who's
know
Ryan Styles? Do I know who that is?
Whose line?
Whose line is it anyway? He was also in 2 and a Half Men. Right. He was on the Drew Carey Show.
Big Tall Ryan.
Yeah.
Yes, of course I know who he is.
Yeah, so my God. Like I've been like out like once I'm like settled into my hotel for 5 minutes. I ran into Cato Kale in the elevator. I just met John Cryer, who introduced me to his buddy Ryan. And when I shake his hand, it's Ryan. And I was a huge Ryan Styles fan from Whose Line Is It Anyway?
I watched some old stuff on that the other day. It was fun.
Yeah, and so I'm like, oh hey, hey. So like I'm telling her she doesn't know who Ducky is. She doesn't know who Alan Harper is. Like I took her in here into the studio and showed her the picture of me. I'm like, him. Like me and John, that's him. And she's like, nothing. Nope, nothing. Not a thing. Nothing.
No. I'd have to let her go. She seems lovely, but for your own health, your mental health.
No.
You might need to be like, I'm going to need someone older. I don't want you to feel.
Yeah. It's bad because the thing is on top, like, there's some of it is that huge age difference, which her, and then there's also part of it that she's got a little bit of asshole. You know what I mean? Like there's a good chance she knows exactly who Ducky is, and she's
messing
just,
with you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's even better. Okay, you have to keep her.
Change my mind. Yeah, but that was so. So I'm like Ryan Styles. I'm trying to explain to her who Ryan Styles is. She has no idea. She's bored with the story. But now I'm in too deep, so I got to continue on with it.
Oh no.
I just keep going. I keep going hard. Because the end of the story was Ryan then introduces himself to me. And we talk for a second, and then him and John are talking. And then John's like, well, where are you headed? And he said that I'm going to go find a place to eat because fucking Cato Kalin won't stop pitching TV shows to me in there. So it was Cato Kalin.
Who's pitching TV shows?
Yeah, she was pitching TV show ideas to Ryan while he was trying to have a drink at the bar.
I have so many questions. That's a wonderful series of events. Yeah, that's really good.
It really was. Yeah, and so, really good. And the worst part is I just keep doubling down. So like, I'm like, no, there's gotta be like, I'm going to impress you with a story. Like when her folks came out here to the office, like they were impressed. They came in. I'm like, look, there's me with Mark Harmon. And they're like, oh, and she's just like, what? I don't, who's that?
You need to find the equivalent, whatever her generation, there needs to be an online source where you can, like, you know, when you put in Google, like you put in the English phrase and then it comes up in Spanish. So you need to be able to put in Mark Harmon and then it comes up whatever Timothy Chalamet, whatever. And then.
Right.
And then that she'd be like, oh,
I get it. Yeah. So then I get at least socially understand what I'm talking about.
Because I feel like interns and young people just are there to make us feel bad about ourselves. And that shouldn't be the case. But every time I've
had an intern
at my office, I was like, all you're doing when you said, I said Madonna and you said, oh, that old singer lady?
Ugh. I love Katie's face. That old singer lady.
You're fired. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure what Madonna is doing. Don't come for me in the chat.
But this was like,
they had said that about Cher, there would have been problems. Yeah. Right? Okay. Yeah.
So other experiences I had living there. And listen, I was trying so hard to like make her understand that I'm pretty cool and I've know some cool people.
You've done stuff.
No, that's
you've
the worst someone, thing yeah. is someone older trying to convince someone younger that they're cool.
So I told her, and again, true story, that I was sitting at the bar because I was explaining that like I always when I'm traveling alone, I always eat at the bar because I have a thing about sitting at a restaurant by myself. Like I'm too self-conscious about I can't sit at a table at a restaurant by myself.
I can't even do a bar, but like sit at the bar by myself. I don't want people to see me eat, period. But like that's my own issues. But like, no, how do you even sit at the bar? Do you go on your phone?
I'm no. Well, that's the problem. I'm not a phone person. So like, if I was a phone person, like normal people, I would sit at a table and eat because I look at them and they're all just sitting there just looking, but I don't know what they're looking at because there's nothing on my phone I want to look at.
Right.
So I don't know what they're looking at. And I've tried it. I'll sit there and be like, okay, I have Facebook. I don't care. Why do I want to know what you're eating? I don't know. Thank you. And then I'm done. Like, I don't want to look at it anymore.
Download Hulu on your phone and then watch TV.
That seems too far. Like that seems like crazy to me to like sit at a table and just like, I'm just watching a movie. What's up, guys? So, but I'm kind of like when I'm in a nervous situation, I can be pretty outgoing. I usually just start running my mouth. So usually if I sit at a bar, then I can usually like become buddies with the bartender.
Sure.
And then I feel like I'm having dinner with a buddy.
Okay.
You know,
okay,
have a drink.
Right. And they like this, or do they feel like I'm just trying to do my job, man? Just like leave me alone.
I sniff that shit out pretty quick because the latter happens often. That particular place, it's the shout out to the Hotel Amarano in Burbank. Either you guys are familiar with the place.
I live in Burbank.
Yeah.
So you know the Hotel Amarano.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Where's the Hotel Amarano?
It's right across from that grocery store. What's it called?
Pavilions?
No. You Nelson? Live there.
Vons?
Vons, right across the street from Vons.
Vons.
Yeah, it's on, I can't remember the name of the road. That
Pass?
It's on. Ave? Yes, Pass it's on Avenue? Pass, right across the street from Vons. Okay,
I got it. All right, sorry, keep going.
By the way, listeners, if you're listening
it's
to this,
one of my favorite grocery stores.
I'm going to have to put an intro into this at the beginning and be like, hey, if you thought you were going to hear anything important, you're not. I haven't talked to my friends for a little bit and they just want a prize, so I wanted to have them on and chat. That's what's happening here.
I think this is very important stuff. This is really good. Keep going.
But so
you're at the hotel and you found a friend.
Yeah, I found a friend. His name's Norm. So, Kimberly, if you ever want to go have a drink, go. Norm, he's been
down there now.
Go
meet Norm.
But what's today? Today's Wednesday. Norm will be there today. He doesn't work on Thursdays. But yeah, Norm and I should point out, eventually the show got bought and we made the show. And then, therefore, I was living about 60% of the time in LA for 3 months. And I always stayed at that place. So I got to be, me and Norm got it. Like me and Norm like would go out for pizza after a shift, like after a while, like we literally became buddies. Yeah.
So he's coming to your daughter's graduation, like your best friend.
Probably should have sent him an invite. Yeah. But no, what's crazy is I'm glad I had you guys on so everybody could hear all this stuff about you.
We have nothing interesting.
I had nothing to.
We got a big, heavy award. That's what happened.
Yeah, we're going to talk about crime. We're going to talk about that.
No.
But anyway, me. Let's talk about me.
Yes, what happened with Norm?
Well, I'd be there. So like once I got to be like chummy with Norm, I was like when they would book me to come back out they would book me other places. I'm like, no, like literally in my contract, I stay at the Hotel Amarano. That's where I stay. Like that's my place. Because I'm weird like that. Like I seem very outgoing, but you send me into a restaurant with. Like no, thank you. I need people. I'm a people person.
I understand. Yeah.
But so I would, so every night, that's where I had dinner. Every single night I would go down. They had pretty good food there. I would go have a glass of bourbon, have dinner, shoot the shit with Norm. And then it got to be, so there were some regulars. It's weird because the hotel bar, but there are regulars that go there all the time. Another crazy story. So first of all, this is when I was trying to explain to her how cool I was. Since she didn't care about John Cryer, didn't care about Cato Kalin, didn't care about Ryan Stiles. None of that helped at all. She didn't know what "you can't handle the truth" means. So we're moving on. And I was like, do you know, like she puts the lotion in the basket. And she's
goodbye,
like,
horses. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. And she's like, I've seen a meme about that. I'm like, right. That meme. Do you know where that came from? She's like, I don't know. Like,
and she doesn't know Silence of the Lambs.
And I said Silence of the Lambs. She goes, oh, I've never seen it, but isn't that like, I know the story. I think she's a big reader. She might have read like a book about it or that book. Maybe if I don't know if it was a book.
That book is terrifying. Don't read that book. But it's so much scarier than the movie. But did she know who Buffalo Bill was? Like when you said Buffalo
or
Bill.
Or Hannibal Lecter.
No, what she said was, wasn't that the guy that was like in the prison and he was like, and then there was like somebody was eating people. And then she figured out, she said, wait, there was two guys. One was in the prison, but he was helping her catch the other one. But
she got there.
Yeah, she got there. I'm sure she probably read the book and not saw the movie. But she got there a little bit. And I'm like, so the one that was outside is, he would say like, she puts the lotion in the basket and had a creepy voice. Well, one day I'm sitting at the bar talking to Norm. And from right behind me, I hear,
I would like some spaghetti sent to my room. And like, and this is a true story, came up behind me. That boy, that's all he said. I'd like some spaghetti sent to my room. And I went, like knew the voice immediately. And then Norm's like, you gotta get room services. I want you to send. I'm saying it like he spoke in normal human English.
Frankenstein.
But it was that
like voice.
Timber.
But it was super weird because he was like, no, I want you to send the spaghetti to my room. And he's like, I serve the bar, dude. You have to order spaghetti through the room service if you wanted to go to your room. And then he wanders away.
I don't like any part of that.
Yeah.
Why like did he want spaghetti?
I don't like
no.
Spaghetti is worse.
And then Norm is like, that guy's such a dick. He always fucking does that. And I'm like, dude, he sounds just like the dude from Silence of the Lambs. He goes, it was the dude from Silence. And I like looked right as he was walking around and it was, yeah, that was him. He stays there all the time. And then
I dressed as the girl in the well, the senator's daughter, for Halloween several years in a row, because it's a very easy costume.
And I have an inappropriate picture of Buffalo Bill up here somewhere in this.
Yeah, so you would have, you guys would have really, you would have been impressed. I can see you're impressed right now.
I'm very impressed. Yeah, anyone from Silence of the Lambs. Anyone.
I worked in Hollywood for 12 years. I met a lot of celebrities.
Kimberly stories are always like.
These are better though. No, like these are better. Like I get more excited about the very weird people. Like
it's much more fun.
Well, they're all
someone who's on the real world. I get way more excited.
Yeah. The problem with me is I'm so terrible with pop culture. Like I don't even know who. Like I usually don't know who I'm talking to. Like this, that somebody in the chat was saying that I need to tell the story about. Have you guys heard the story about me big leaguing Idris Elba?
No,
I'm sorry. Oh, no.
I got to make it quick because my audience has heard the story. Skip ahead a couple minutes. Somebody's like, Bob runs a tight ship. Yep. This is how you make a podcast.
He wants the spaghetti put in the basket.
I was in London doing a speaking tour in the UK. And so we went all over the UK.
Oh, no big deal. Sorry. That's a cool pat. I was just doing a speaking engagement.
Yeah, UK, whatever. I didn't get a fucking award for it. Or whatever, but I just did it.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
for the award.
But my last stop was in London, and I spoke at this place in Notting Hill area, and I'd like do the speech, and every one of them, like I would do my whole presentation, and then everybody would have like a meet and greet. Usually, we'd like meet up like at the bar at the venue, and I would like take pictures and stuff like that, like you do at places, things like that, like you guys just did at CrimeCon, you know, take pictures with people.
That's in Nashville, not in London. London is infinitely cooler. Was it in the winter? Was it brisk?
It was December. Yeah.
Well, that's very cool. All right. Keep going. Sorry.
So anyway, we get done at this last place and we're in Notting Hill and apparently there's like all these like noise restrictions in there. So like we get done, I come off stage and I tell everybody, all right, everybody wants to meet up in the bar. We'll do a little meet and greet. Everybody wants to take pictures or whatever. And then like the not the people that hired me, but the people that run the venue were like, no, you guys, it's 9 o'clock. You guys have to get out of here. Like, we can't have anybody in here after 9 o'clock. Cause it was like in a historic, there was some deal. It was like for this building and this place.
Noise
has to be done 9 o'clock. And so a few people were like, let's go down. There's a pub 2 blocks down or whatever. Let's all go meet in this pub. And this is like a few days before Christmas. And I wish I could remember, there's a certain song, it's not really relevant to the story, but there's a song like in the UK, they always like all sing during Christmas. And I can't, somebody in the chat will know it. But they were there over and over again. Like we walk down the street to this pub and I get there and, I don't want to be alone in a restaurant. You know what else I don't want to be is in the middle of a giant pack of shoulder to shoulder people. I don't do crowds either. So we go to walk in. And it's just slam packed and they're all drunk and singing and having a good time. And the event organizer was like, there's a room in the back. I talked to them. I'm going to have everybody slide into the back so you can go back and take pictures. And because like part of their like ticket they paid for was to like get a picture or whatever. So they're shuffling like 100 people back into this back room. And I like look in and I'm freaking out because I don't even want to be in that building. There's too many people in there. And I smoked then. So I lit a cigarette and I'm like standing outside having a cigarette. And this drunken Englishman that had been at my show comes running out and he says, and you need to know that I don't know this name. I don't know what's happening. But he comes out, he's like, oh, and this dude like came down from Manchester, so he really couldn't understand him. And he's like,
oh, there we go.
Yeah. He's like, oh, blimey, what, Idris Elba's in there. He wants to take a picture with you, buddy. You got to go and take a picture with Idris Elba. And I'm like, you're talking fucking nonsense to me. I don't know what you're saying. And he's just like, come on.
What an Idris Elba is. You think
what
is an Idris Elba?
Yeah, okay. And I couldn't even make that out. But even if I did, I wouldn't have known who it was.
10 boyfriend.
Yeah, he's a very handsome. And then you went in and saw the world's most handsome man.
My wife's too. And you should know, this was the month that he won Sexiest Man Alive.
So most handsome and most sexy man.
Yeah, he was like Sexiest Man, People Magazine, Sexiest Man Alive or something like that. So this dude like drags me into this bar. I don't want to be in there. And I'm like, okay, I got to go. And I see the Kayla, the event organizer in the back, like waving to me, like, back here is where everybody's at to take pictures. I'm like, all right, I just need to get through this crowd and get back there, take these pictures and get it over with. But this crazy man is like dragging me to go see, hey, bloody, it's Idris Elba, blah, blah, whatever. And then he like pulls me over to what can only be described as the most beautiful human I've ever seen in my life. And by the way, my wife is like tagging behind me. And then one of the ladies that was like carting us around England or the UK was with me too. And I don't know this. They're pretty excited about the situation. I still don't know what's happening. And and they like, he like pulls me like through the crowd and he's like, oh, here he is. And Idris Elba, who I now know who he is, like kind of breaks through the crowd, reaches out, shakes my hand. And goes, oh man, it's nice to meet you. And it should be noted, as much as I want to brag about this, he doesn't know who the fuck I am.
He doesn't.
He does.
Change the story.
I should say this. I don't know. I suspect he doesn't. What I believe happened was this guy's like, hey, because you know, he did Luther, right? And they're like, you know, how you like fight crime and stuff and invest it. This guy does it. You should. I think he was just being nice to that guy is what was happening. I think. But he was very nice. Like I walked in and then when they got his attention, he like through the crowd comes out, shakes my hand, smiling that big, beautiful smile. And it's like, oh, bro, you know, buddy, nice. Nice to meet you. Let's get a picture. And I said, I will definitely do that, buddy. But listen, I've got 100 people back there that have been waiting in line. I've got to take their picture first. I'll come back and I'll get you after that. And I walked away.
At that moment, your wife said, grabbed your arm. It was like, took a picture.
She punched me in the back and I, like,
yeah,
hard. I didn't know. And he's like, all right. And then I went back and then I feel like literally someone hitting me in the back. And I'm like, what? And there's just all this. I'm kind of in panic mode. I get to the back room and that's all I hear is, why did you do that? I'm like, that's not fair. All these people paid and they're here waiting for me. I'm not going to stop. And they're like, do you know who that is? I'm like, you know, I don't know who that is. And then they said it was Idris Elba. And I'm like, I got nothing. And then that's when my wife brought up on her phone the Google image of Idris Elba, Sexiest Man Alive. And she's like, that's who that was. You son of a bitch. I want a divorce.
Yeah, no, that's an appropriate response.
Mm-hmm.
I'm retroactively mad. I am very mad.
But I also really want to know if he knew who you were. And I feel like
I think he did.
Katie and I were there. We're very good at reading facial expressions.
Like, we've had a few people at this crime con that did not know.
And we could tell that they wanted
that's happened to me at many a crime con.
They wanted a picture because they saw other people getting pictures. But it's like, no, we are not on Dateline.
Neither of us is Andrea Canning.
Yeah.
I once had somebody talk to me for a half hour and take a picture with me. And it wasn't until a half hour into it that I realized they thought I was the captain.
Well, I mean, many.
You talk about a slow burn.
Dateline.
You talk about a slow burn. They're fawning over me, Kimberly. So I was just taking it all in.
There were no context clues.
Nothing. It was like, man, I love the show. You do such a great job. And I just love what you do. You know? And then they were just like, you know how sometimes they just want to be like, we're your friends. And I'm like, that's cool. We can be friends because we're just and they're like, we're just having this conversation. And then she's like, I know you got other people waiting. I got one. At some point, can I like get your email address or something? So I can talk to you about like doing like live music. And when she said that, I went,
oh my gosh.
Do you think that I'm the captain?
You said it.
Yeah. And her face went, by the way, Patrick is standing 5 feet away from me. Their booth was right next to ours.
Wow.
And
wow.
And unfortunately, he heard that. And he's like, hmm? And she's like,
oh,
her face just goes, she's like, you're not the captain.
Oh, my.
I love it.
I'm like, I certainly am not the captain. She's like, who are you? And I said, I'm Bob Ruff. And she said, oh, never heard of you. And then went over and took a picture with goddamn captain.
Never heard of you.
She said,
oh,
and I'm like, you didn't have to say that. What was the purpose of you saying that? I was so nice to you. You asshole.
Yeah. She did not need to see that. She'd been like, oh, it's so nice to meet you. Fake it and then leave.
I think both of you should have played along. I think you should have played along. Like we play along if people think we're Dateline.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we say, or if we'll consider doing that story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a fair mistake to make because our booths were right next to each other. So like, and right between our booth, like the side, like where they're kind of together is where they had their like True Crime Garage poster thing. And I was standing next to Nick and Captain was on the other side of the booth. So you see the True Crime Garage thing, you see Nick standing with me. I'm a big tattooed bearded fella.
Yeah. Makes sense.
She should have realized how much more handsome and fit and tall and sexier than I am.
That was the next thing I was going to say.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, let's face it. Captain's a mess. He's a disaster. I don't even know how he gets out of bed in the morning. I hope he listens to this. Love you,
well,
Captain.
He's probably still in bed because we beat them in the.
Let me lift this up again.
That maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, there it is. How heavy is that? Is it like?
It's so heavy. It's unnecessarily heavy. It's made of I wish I could describe. I'm gonna weigh it.
Yeah, weigh it.
Yes, I kept making people lift it the entire day, the next day, because I felt like people wouldn't understand until they tried to lift it how incredibly heavy.
I wanted everyone to hold it because if it does get used as a weapon, now everyone at CrimeCon is
DNA, fingerprints, everything all over it.
Yeah.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You know what really makes me jealous is last week I took third place in a stand-up comedy contest. No big deal.
Oh, out of how many?
32. But still.
That's
but
a
still,
big deal.
But still, it's third place.
Say that part, the 32.
That's still, that's third place. And you know what they gave me? It was a trophy that was 3 inches tall. It was a plastic thumbs up. And
do you love it, though?
I threw it away.
That's ridiculous. No, you got to keep those.
There didn't even say anything on it. It was like something they bought at Five Below. And then there was a medal, like an Olympic medal that was also plastic that had a 3 on it. And it was just sitting on my counter. And the other Becky, my wife, was cleaning up the other day, and she's like, "What do you want to do with this?" I'm like, "Throw it away." She's like, "You're gonna throw it away." I'm like, "What am I gonna do with my third place plastic medal?"
Shadow box. You need to build a trophy case, and then it just. Proudly.
Sorry, yet still you got third.
Yeah.
You placed. All those other people didn't place.
Listen, the only thing I'll say, really, I feel like they drew a name out of a hat. I could have just as easy, because in the finals there was 8 of us. I feel like I could have been 8th because everybody was really good in the finals. But I was the only thing I was happy about third is 3 of the other people that placed behind me are like professional headlining comedians. So I was pretty happy. I feel like
Is this on YouTube? What is this?
It's not on YouTube. It was at our local comedy club. I got stuff I can send. I can send you my whole hour that I do.
That is we would like to see and and judge accordingly.
Predictions before you see it. How many dick jokes do you think there are in a 45-minute set?
In a 45-minute set?
Mm-hmm.
15?
Who's your favorite comedian? No, stop. Who are your top 3 comedians, stand-up comedians?
I like Tom Segura a lot. I'm getting to like Shane Gillis. I like Bert Kreischer. I like kind of that style storyteller type. I'm a storyteller for sure.
4.
Oh, I say 15.
4 and 15. All right. We'll see who wins. I'll send you guys a link right after the show.
He's a storyteller though, Kimberly. It can't be like
He's a storyteller.
So if one story, if
that's
there's
what
like
I'm going to say next
stories,
time. Are you a podcaster? I'm going to go, I'm more of a storyteller. Because that is the most pretentious sounding shit I've ever heard.
I will give you $10 if you do that in front of me. That is, do that. But I like storyteller comedians. That's a fun, that's more pleasant to listen to than just like sort of a hard hitting. That's not as fun.
It's more fun
when you're invested in the stories.
Yeah, so. I don't know how to write jokes. I literally don't. So like when I do my comedy, I take true stories and usually I'll punch them up a little bit. And it's a series of like most of these stories are actually true.
Well, do you tell the drunk Harry Potter story? Because that story is a winner. Sorry,
no, but I need it.
I have a bug in here, too. Did you send it to me? Because I have one in here, and I don't know where it came from. Oh. So you sent it to me.
I'm going
to
add the Harry Potter.
The Harry Potter story.
Add that for sure.
I laughed.
Are you
so
coming
hard.
To Denver? Are you coming to CrimeCon next?
Me?
Next CrimeCon. Yeah.
No, I don't do CrimeCon.
Yes.
Well, I think you should rethink that because... have you been to the Denver airport?
I used to live in Boulder and I lived in Aurora for a while. So yeah, I used to fly.
What's your deal with all the theories, the conspiracies about the airport?
Do you know anything about it?
I don't know. I mean, I was there. I lived there when they built the DIA, when they put that, like the weird, like pointy things that are supposed to look like the mountain.
And the horse?
Yeah. Yeah. And back then everybody was just like, that's what are they doing? And then they said it was
something very wrong there.
I don't know. Like, I didn't know there was a thing. I mean, this was like 27 years ago. So I don't remember, like, okay. I don't know what's going on there now.
It's not the person we need to go to for it.
If you find anyone that knows about the Denver airport, there's conspiracy theories about this airport. Like,
I hope
wild
it's the right
things.
Airport.
They're all,
yeah.
What'd you say?
I hope it's the right airport.
It's Denver, for sure, with the horse.
Yeah, yeah. And it's weird. Have either of you ever flown into DIA?
No.
It's crazy because like you think you're flying into Denver. It's so far away from Denver. It's like in the middle of the plains. Like it's like an hour drive into Denver from the airport. It's like maybe not an hour, but it's out there. It's way out in the middle of nowhere.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. The whole thing was kind of weird. But no, I don't think that even if I wanted to go back to CrimeCon, I would be in. I have personal issues. And that's just my thing. I don't fault anybody else for having it, but I had some personal issues and I voiced some of them on the podcast pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think they like that.
They didn't care for it. No, I got an email asking.
They listened?
Huh? Somebody told them, somebody from CrimeCon, like it was like last year I had said, I said kind of my opinion. And actually I pulled some punches. I said my opinion, but then they emailed me and were like, dude, I thought everything was cool. And I was like, it's not cool. And they were like, well, what's your reasons why? And I said like a very detailed, I'm like, okay. You really want to know? These are the things that I don't like about your organization and what you're doing and da, 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 and the way you're running the CrimeCon. Tell me you'll do something about those. And they're basically like, I'm sorry you feel that way. Oh, cool.
Oh, not like we're gonna look into this and make
stop talking. So we don't want to get kicked out of CrimeCon.
Yeah. You guys, you don't want to participate in this because they gave you, listen, the odds of you winning that 2 years in a row, you might as well quit now. You can go out on, like, what if you won that award and then you're like, and fuck CrimeCon?
I didn't ask specifics. Did I say a bad thing? No.
No, 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 no.
You did. Thank you very much for this very heavy award.
Yeah.
I want to do that. I want to like win an award and just flip off everyone. And like, that's the dream, right?
Yeah. It's always the dream. Yeah.
I mean, I'm such a rule follower. So is Katie. We're pathological rule followers and people pleasers. So we would never, but it's like the quitting dream where you quit and you flip your table at your desk. And you're like,
yeah. Yeah. It would be awesome.
The minute, suck it,
the minute you said that, my hand started sweating. I was like, oh, no.
No, you guys, there's no reason to get it. Like I said, that's just my issue. And truthfully, when I see all the posts at CrimeCon every year, like I do miss like being there with like the other podcasters and like meeting fans and listeners and stuff. Like I do miss that stuff. Right. It's just my issues are. Bigger pictures.
Organization, I understand.
Well, and some of the stuff they did.
Wait, so I know we have to go soon. I have a question really quick. Like, have you released what case you're talking about or is it private still?
I have not. I've given little nibbles of clues, but you guys should.
Is it something that's happening right now?
No, I don't know if you know this about me, Katie, but my podcast is based on wrongful conviction cases. So it's an old case that we're covering.
No, she knows that.
She, of course, I told you.
I know. I was joking, but the look on your face was like, huh?
How very dare you?
I think she wants your opinion on Karen Reed because that's all she's obsessed with right now.
No, so that's not one that I wouldn't do anything on, because that's a current case happening right now.
I know.
I don't know.
10 years from now.
As a matter of fact, my plan is next week is I'm going to have Bob Mata on, because like everybody's asking me about it. And I don't follow true crime, so I don't even know anything about the case. So I'm going to have Bob come on and talk about it. Do you know lots about the case?
I do. I've been watching the trial.
You've been watching
from beginning to end.
Can you give me?
But I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not a criminologist. I just have thoughts. But sometimes I'm right about stuff. See, and you would know that if I had called in with that tip.
Yeah, I thought you were going to be like, had you not ignored my tip? I was like, wait a minute, you never sent it.
I'm gonna go back and
you should have known he was out there listening with this hot take.
I know.
The weird thing is, I think I even know if I went back. That's all still available, right? I could go back to season two.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna go back because I even think if I heard the episode again, I would know what I thought. I'm gonna go back and listen.
You know what you should do? My last episode that it just aired Sunday, because again we're like in this fill-in time where we're getting ready. Yeah. So we did a flashback episode. And I played, and I did a flashback to when we found out Ed was getting released.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of too, like with the new hire, like so she could understand like the bigger picture of what we do, you know?
Yeah.
So and that was a really good one to kind of capture that. But in that, like I give like a real, you know, like the case in 10 minutes, like a kind of a summary that of like how, you know, what happened in the case. Maybe that'll jog that memory.
Maybe. I don't know. But I also love the detail. And that's part of the reason, like, you have a good show. The minutia detail is just,
we're about to get into one.
Talk about it. We go, if you want, because we always talk about Sandy Melgar. Like, we're friends with Liz. And like, I always go listen to Bob because he did like three full episodes on an autopsy report. Like no one does a deeper dive.
Right.
That's the thing.
You know,
that's what,
if you have the brain that works that way, that can handle it. I can't, give me the 10 minute wrap up, but Katie can do the deep dive. Yeah.
Yeah. I love the deep dive. If I ever stop podcasting, I'm going to apply to be the, I'm going to work on your team and be an intern.
That's awesome. You
I'll do research.
You guys, especially Katie, you guys should listen to season 15 when it drops. June 23rd is when we're supposed to drop it.
Okay.
But it's a really cool case. I keep sprinkling little hints, but I will, and I said this on our follow this week that hasn't aired yet, actually. But so 2 minutes. Real quick, the case came to me because Rabia Chowdhury sent it to me because she was working on it and she thought it needed a full investigation. So she sent it to me from Baltimore. And then when I got it and I looked at it and I read it, I was like, did you know this is in the county that I live in? And she did not know that. It was just a crazy coincidence or fate, however you think that. So it literally is right here.
I don't believe in coincidences. So
no. I know like all the cops like on the, that are like a part of it. It's crazy.
No.
Yeah. And what I was going to say is also there's like some other stuff. I will say this, that Erica that works here.
Yep. It helped me.
When we were preparing to say when are we going to launch the season, I was looking at maybe pushing past July 4th because I just got some more prep I want to do. And she said, no, this case, you need to launch. We need to launch season one in June because it's Pride Month. So no, that is important for this case.
I'm excited about all of it. This is all plus, plus, pluses. Okay, good. And Rabia. Okay. Yeah,
all these things. Yay. June 23rd and Kimberly, I know you got a heart out in a number of seconds coming Thank up here. You. Just real quick, I did just to kind of catch up where we were before. I watched Air Supply on TV with Air Supply because the script supervisor from the Jimmy Kimmel Show drank every night at that bar that I was talking about at the Hotel Almirano, and they filmed and then came to the bar and then we sat there and watched them on there. I guess that's all. Also, that script supervisor that I sat and had a drink with like every single night for months at a time, I found out 3 months in that we're both from the same tiny little town in Michigan.
Also, script supervisor is the hardest job in Hollywood.
I don't know what it means. Like Gary's tried to explain it to me 100 times what it is. I don't understand. All I know is he meets cool people.
Hard. Yeah.
And with that, congratulations, Katie and Kimberly, on your award. Everybody, listen, you need to check out the Date with Dateline podcast. These are two of my favorite human beings on the whole planet. And I'm so proud of you. That's condescending. I'm so happy for you guys.
We'll take it from you. Thank you.
Care. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. It means a lot. But I'm so happy for you guys.
You do it better. So
well deserved. And thank you guys just for hanging out with me. It's good catching up with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bob.
Bye,
good
everybody.
Luck with the new season. Bye.
Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production. All music for the show is created and composed by Shane Yoder at PutThemInASong.com. The font you see on all of our logos and banners were created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. Katie Ross of CreatedInTandem.com designed, created, manages, and maintains our website, Truth and Justice Pod, where you can view all photos and documents discussed in every episode. Thank you to our volunteer transcription team, Pamela Westby, Kathy McElhaney, Courtney Wimberly, Erica Cantor, Melissa Cardenas, Kay Wood Yomnick, and Danielle Rohr. And as always, thank you to all of you for your engagement and your support. If you like the show and you want to support us, you can do that in a number of ways. The number one way for you to support our work is to become a patron at patreon.com/truthandjustice. If you join our Patreon, not only will you be financially supporting our work, but you'll also get something for your pledge. For just $5 per month, you'll get all episodes ad-free and also a video version of the Friday follow-ups that include an hour-long pre-show chat exclusive to our patrons. Other levels will get you a Truth and Justice Army t-shirt, Truth and Justice hats, and even the opportunity to co-host a Friday follow-up episode. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It doesn't cost you a penny, and it goes a long way towards making the show more visible. If you have a case that you'd like us to consider covering, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. And the most important thing that you can do is engage in our investigations. You can keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page, follow us on Instagram, or join in on the conversation on the Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. For all of you tweeters out there, you can connect with us on Twitter @TruthJusticePod, and I can be found on social media @BobRuffTruth. However you do it, stay engaged, stay in touch. But as for now, I'm signing off. I'm Bob Ruff, and this has been Truth and Justice.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.